Okay, good. I'd like to invite you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, the board members, roll call. Marshall Knox.
Present.
Gary Begley's here. Randy Flores.
Here.
Nick Goodman.
Physically present.
That's a good start. Just Guzman Glover.
Here.
And Chase Turrentine.
Here.
Great. We have a quorum, so we can do business today.
And Mr. Chairman, for the record, if you could identify the two board members that are appearing telephonically.
All right. For the record, both Marshall Knox and Chase Turrentine are here telephonically. Rosa, would you roll call the board, please? Are the staff, please?
A compliance supervisor, Ms. Rodriguez, here. Board investigators, Ms. Helen Borderon,
here.
And Ms. Kelly Whitaker,
here.
Board inspectors, Ms. Kathy Bergeron,
here.
And Ms. Alexandra Hill,
here.
Deputy directors, Ms. Irma Tejas-Dorff,
here.
And Mr. Bruce Bueno,
here.
Supporting staff, Ms. Adriana Gonzalez,
here.
And Mr. Keegan McConnelly,
here.
Ms. Lucy Thomas,
here.
And Ms. Alicia Lamont,
here.
Also attending, Assistant Attorney General, Ms. Mona Baskin.
Present. Good morning.
And Executive Director, Frank McGalley, present.
All right. And we're glad you're here. For a lot of reasons. All right. So we'll do roll call. Let's move up to item one. Discussion, consideration, possible action, approval, regular board minutes for the March 18th, 2022 meeting. Do we have a motion to accept those minutes as they stand?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of March 18th.
Second.
Roll call. Mr. Bagley?
Yes.
Ms. Flores?
Aye.
Mr. Goodman?
Aye.
Ms. Glover?
Aye.
Mr. Knox?
Aye.
And Mr. Turrentine?
Yay.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. We had that going last time. All right, number two. Discussion, consideration, possible action on approval of executive session meetings from March 4th, 2022. So.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Who all was there? March 4th.
Oh, March 4th.
Yeah.
You know, I was the paperwork there in front of you. For this confidence.
Okay. All right.
I think it was everybody but me.
That was the one that, after my big lecture about how we shouldn't do telephonically, I think I called into that one.
Yeah, yeah. We have to do as I say, not as I do, text operation. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I would motion that we approve.
I'll second.
All right, got it.
All right, Mr. Bagley, members of the board, if we could just, for the audio, have the board members, when they make their motions and their second, identify themselves. So that would be the motion by Mr. Goodman and the second by Ms. Flores. Thank you.
Roll call.
Okay. Mr. Bagley?
Yes.
Ms. Flores?
Aye.
Mr. Goodman?
Aye.
Ms. Guzman Glover? Glover, I'm sorry.
Abstain.
Mr. Knox?
Aye.
And Mr. Turnpike.
Yay.
All right. Next item up is discussion, consideration, possible action, approval of executive session meetings from March 18th, 2022.
Randy Flores, I'll make that motion to approve the minutes of March 18th executive session.
Goodman, second.
Roll call. Mr. Bagley?
Aye.
Ms. Flores?
Aye.
Mr. Goodman?
Aye.
Ms. Guzman Glover?
Aye. Here.
Mr. Yes. Knox?
Aye.
And Mr. Turrentine?
Aye.
Thank you. Nicely done. All right. Now we're up to conflicts of interest. Does any board member have conflicts of interest? I have three. Trying to keep it up for you guys. Case number 95613, 95186, and 078. 978? 978. Same as forever. Perhaps we can clean those off if we're fast enough.
Yes.
All right, so we're okay with that? Next thing up, number five, report and discussion on professional credential services, PCS examination, and the written practical exam via computer-based technology, CBT, which is Prometric.
And I believe Mr. Magali has some information regarding that.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Just a quick update this morning on the PCS item that you mentioned a moment ago. I had a meet and greet meeting with Francine early in the week. I think it was my second morning here. She was able to provide me some data around where we are at. We had about, I'm correct if I'm wrong, Irma, it was less than 100 total between the two items left for scheduling when they had started making all of those phone calls to get those practical exams scheduled and conducted by the end of May. So they've made my understanding, again, 4 days or 24 sure. hours, and at that point made some progress from prior.
Gigantic progress, because a month before that we were some 7,000 cases behind. So if we're down to 100, that's a miracle.
Great.
Nicely done.
Yes.
Yeah, if you can update that each month, give us an idea of where we are. And I think the board, I know I would like, and I think the board would like to know, how well are we servicing the people that we are committed to do that with. And what I'd like to know is if a school graduates a student, how long is until they get the licensing? What are we looking at? Because I know that, again, looking at 6 months ago, that was some 8 months. Are we down? And the point is that in, I think, October, we voted that we would continue provisional licensing until we were within 90 days. And the governor would like us not to do provisional licensing. So I'd like to know when we hit 90 days so we can apply. So I'll look forward to that next month. Board, have any questions about that?
Sounds good.
Sounds like we're getting efficient. Nice. Do you have any other questions about the computer-based testing at all? Anybody? The industry will be very thrilled to hear that kind of numbers. It's getting much better. It's a big deal. All right, number six, discussion, consideration, and possible action on board rules committee. I think we have a rules committee and we have a chairman. I guess maybe we want to see what we're going to do to get going on the consolidations issues.
Yes, we have not established a meeting cadence yet, but I believe we were going to be working on that.
Okay, do you want to go ahead and do that while we're
okay, on this topic? Need to do that in open meeting? No.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Flores, members of the board, no. You could just do that informally
okay.
for Mr. Magali. But I believe that this agenda item is on the agenda for the board as a whole to provide some guidance to the rules committee as far as are there any specific areas that they want to be considered. And I do know that there has been prior approval from the governor's office to conduct this rulemaking. So we have complied with Executive Order 2022-01 as far as that's concerned.
Okay. Do we have input from the board on items that we think are important to be dealt with?
I think one of the items we previously discussed, Mr. Chairman, is combining and streamlining the two previous boards, and so if there's overlap, if there's anything that's duplicative, and get language standardized across the two boards. So I would say that's probably the number one priority from my perspective.
I think it's a good illustration. I know that in a specific, the staff has been working on trying to get the parameters for fines to be standardized in some way, and that runs into a language issue between how one group says it and the other group says it. So certainly we should address that in rules to get what we can clean up in that to help have any other input?
I was just going to add the thing about signs, making sure that they're consistent with one another.
Yeah, we need to pick up efficiency inside, and that'll help us. To the guys on the phone, do you have any input for the Rules Committee on things you want to have looked at?
You guys already discussed fines. That was the thing I was primarily concerned with.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, then we have. Okay, thanks, Marshall. All right, so then we just need to get up scheduled and get started, start working on it. So I'll look to you for that, obviously, since it's your committee.
Sure.
Wonderful. All right, next item up, review, discussion, possible action on barbering cosmetology board parameters. Same thing, cosmetology and barbering. Does staff have some report to provide to us?
This is just for the legacy. I did go in and did a little bit of a revise. The only was the, I was able to do the letter of concern for the current closing of the license. Their barbering, they had like a $100 fine. So I moved that to the non-disciplinary letter of concern. Mm-hmm. And maybe the posting of a license or if they were inactive within a certain minute. But other than that, I wasn't able to do anything else.
Okay. Can you get a copy of what you've done to Ms. Flores so she can have it to start guiding the Rules Committee? Wonderful.
Great. Thank you.
We appreciate your work.
That's also within scope. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I didn't interrupt. Is that also within scope of our Rules Committee is looking at the base fine level?
Well, I think we want to get to where we standardize what's on the list and then bring it back to the board and see if they want to adjust those. So,
got it.
Like we did before.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mona Baskin, may I just answer that question, Ms. Flores? The as far as what the board is able to do as far as disciplinary actions, that is within your board statutes for both the barbering and for the cosmetology board. What's in your rules deals with license applications and fees associated with the, with those. And if you take a look at actually your board statutes, both board statutes, there is a discrepancy in the amount of fine that can be issued to a barber and a cosmetologist. So that those would have to be addressed in that legislative committee, for the board to take a look at that.
Yeah, maybe we can define it so that we have that ready, and we're anticipating forming a legislative committee about July in order to get ready to clean that up because of the timing of the legislature. All right, so we'll get some motion on that, get some movement. Do we have any other input on the parameters to be discussed?
I have not reviewed the updated parameters. I don't think I realized they were updated.
Do you want to take a look at that in committee?
Yeah, let's do that then.
Okay. All right. Number eight, discussion, possible action on the May board meeting timing. By what we mean by that is, are we still doing Friday meetings? Are we looking at a different day of the week? What do we need to do to accommodate the board to get more physical participation here? Because as Mr. Goodman pointed out, it's better to be here.
Whoa, don't just blame Mr. Goodman.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, if I may as well, just to give you some perspective and why we wanted to have this conversation this morning. And I realize that our agenda item says May, but really it probably is a bit larger of a conversation for discussion. But and with staff looking at the number of cases that will be heard at the May board meeting, we're in the neighborhood of 50 as it stands right now. And I'm on day five, but my understanding is those can be up to 15 minutes apiece. And doing quick math on that, that's about 13 hours. So we are looking to the board for some determination of how you want to handle, I suspect, because of quorum issues and a number of other intricate issues related to board membership, that we probably are going to have a few months of a large numbers of cases to be heard. So we just wanted to bring to your attention the large numbers in comparison to today in particular, and that we could have some lengthy meetings. I know that I understand that there was some conversation, as you just referenced, in prior meetings. So I think I'm viewing this as not only a staff opportunity, but a board opportunity to start with a clean slate. And if we need to move days, move times, I would probably be with Member Goodman on these cases are better heard when everybody's present. I know that there are extenuating circumstances that we might need to do telephonic or digital or virtual meetings, but we just wanted to get that on the table today for consideration, because it's going to be a lot in the coming months, and contending with summer vacation schedules is going to be something else that we have to look at. So that I would throw it back to you all.
All right, so let's look at that issue. We talked before about potentially moving to Mondays or whether Friday's going to work. Can we poll quickly and see who feels what way? Is there a benefit to different board members from one path or another?
Friday would be better for me if we're going to have long, long days.
Okay.
I do prefer Fridays.
This is Chase. Same. Friday's the best.
This is Mr. Knox. Mondays are the best for me. Fridays, between VA appointments and it's a lot going on Fridays, those don't work for me.
Mr. Goodman.
This is Goodman. I would not plan around me. I would plan around other people, and then I will do the very best I can, whatever.
Okay, well, based on the quick poll, Chase, did you put in your input?
Yeah.
Friday
is the best for me.
All right. And in my case, it doesn't make any difference. One of the benefits of being an old guy is I can pretty much move around. So, but that gives us three people that say Friday, one that says Monday, and two that say they don't care.
Oh, I care.
Oh, he cares. Okay. One that says he doesn't care, and one who says he has his own motives.
So this is Mr. Knox. Mondays are best. Any other day except for Fridays work for me. Fridays are just the worst days.
I can throw out Wednesday if that's helpful. This is Chase. Wednesdays are usually slower for me.
Wednesdays?
Wednesdays work for me.
If there was no Friday option, Wednesdays would work reasonably well.
Okay, but you're...
I'm rarely here on Wednesdays.
Yeah. How's your world?
I have a hard stop on Wednesday afternoon for previous engagements.
All right, we have two that really can't do Wednesdays. Could we create a new day of the week and do it that way? Well, I'm not sure what to do. We don't have a consensus of what can work. Everybody's busy.
This is not Gary. Quick question. I don't have a problem with, so Fridays I can fit them into my schedule. It's just, I can't do every Friday. That's why I asked before at the last meeting, if we can, like, some Mondays, some Fridays. I get everybody can't make Monday, everybody can't make Friday. But if everybody can't make it, I was just making a suggestion that, like, you know, we kind of work around everybody's schedule if we can.
Right. You know, the other thing we talked about was the time to start. And we moved the start time to 10 o'clock to make it easier for a couple of members to travel. Is that valid? You know, should we be thinking about starting earlier? Would that make it easier for everybody?
Start time's not an issue for me.
Okay.
So it really depends on the day, but on Fridays at this time of year, I have a recurring 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. conflict. But it's every other Friday. And so it really just depends on the cadence of the board meetings and when those fall. So it seems like those have changed.
Sure.
So I think Mr. Chairman, a suggestion would be schedule meeting by meeting with the board to pick a best date rather than just have a recurring.
The problem is the staff have to get into a pattern and for them to know when they have to be done, when they have to negotiate, when they have to. There's a lot of parts have to move to get it there. So it's kind of like steering a large ship.
Got it.
Yeah.
Do we have a day in May that we're talking about for this Friday in May?
I think it's May
7th. May
20th.
May 20th. It won't be here. It'll be out of the country.
Okay.
I can attend virtually, but I will be out of the state.
I thought it was we were looking at the second Friday of the month, which would be the 13th.
It used to be third Fridays all the time, and then it kind of moved around. Is there, I know this is not in our area of fixing, but is there somebody we could talk to about getting more board members so that we could have more flexibility so people could be off and still function?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I do have a meet and greet meeting with the head of boards and commissions next Friday morning, I believe it is, at which I do intend to strongly push them into making some additional appointments, even if it's just one every couple of months for the next few months.
Yeah, in a full board, we could lose, you know, people could get out. We have a lot more room to maneuver.
My understanding is they're working on a couple right now.
Squeeze. Little bumps that happen. Well, I don't know that we came to any consensus that's going to help us.
I apologize for interrupting, Mr. Chair. Would it be helpful if we did look at calendars today for May and June, and then maybe starting fresh in July with, or you know, something maybe next month, deciding what is going to be the standard meeting?
So May right now, we're set up for May 20th. Is there any Friday in May that works better for everybody so that we could relieve some of the pressure or difficulty?
The 6th or the 13th of May?
6th or 13th? Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm fine with 6th or 13th.
6th or 13th. Marcia, would it help you if we were on the 6th or the 13th of May for this next one while we're trying to figure this out?
The next one I'll be fine for. So whichever day y'all want to run with this, either one works for me.
13th. So if we went 13th, you'd be okay. And Chase, how are you?
13th would be my preference. The 7th is my wife's birthday, and the 8th is Mother's Day.
I
imagine there's a lot of business.
Well, you don't need to be with your wife, do you?
You know, I'm a fan, so.
That's death. Yeah, we're not doing that.
Be something conflicting, and with Mother's Day, I imagine that might mess with other people's schedule. So.
Probably better conflict, or we'll be in trouble. All right, so 13th is better for the board. Everybody feel okay?
That works for you?
Yeah, the 6th, I'm out of the country, so 13th sounds great.
All right, then we need to move this.
And I support Chase in supporting his wife.
Yeah, okay. That's reasonable.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we're going to need to check
for
availability. And so we're going to check for room availability, which is probably a little more complicated than I was able to do during the meeting now, as well as making sure our attorney can be present as one example. So we'll have to look at, she's actually already telling us she's not available on the 13th.
I have, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is Mona Baskin. I represent other boards, and actually my other boards work with the cosmetology board so that I can be present for the cosmetology board meeting, and they made their schedule. So I do have an Arizona Behavioral Health Board meeting that's already been pre-scheduled on May 13th.
Can we get a substitute? I understand, but I mean, I've got board members that I can't normally get here.
I will take that back to my office.
See if you can get us a way to do it if you can. I mean, I'd love to have you be here because we count on you. But I've got 5 compared to 1. So I need to get what I can get. Otherwise, we may not have a meeting anyway.
Okay. I will go to the Attorney General's office and have somebody fill in.
Thank you. All right. June. Who's where in June?
No conflicts on Fridays in June.
Everybody's good.
I'm sorry, I lied. There's a conflict on the 17th, but no one.
The only conflicts on Fridays in June for me are the conflict of that 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. conflict, depending on the week. Same thing with May, but I would just have to step away on May 13th from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'm available otherwise.
Okay. So in June, where are we currently scheduled in June?
Rose is checking on that for June.
The 17th is what we have held right now. I put it on my calendar because my assistant put it there. I
need to get one of those.
Yeah. Marshall and Chase of the 17th of June.
That's fine for me.
Chase, are you okay, 17th?
Looks good right now. I'll put it on the calendar.
All right, thank you. And we'll try then to come up with something. And if you got ideas about how to make this easier for everybody, we're open to anything. We just don't know what it is. All right, so we're planning for the 17th at this point. And we'll see what we can do about the moving of the MA to someplace.
One thought, Mr. Chair, on the May is, I guess it sounded like we were pretty much sold on Fridays at this point, but I thought, well, maybe we could do a Monday in May if we needed to. That could be an option. Like, it didn't have to fall on a Friday in May if we still had conflicts with those.
Yeah, I'm okay with anything anybody needs to do. So do you want to try and figure out a May Monday meeting? Would that help anybody? That'd help Marshall.
I could help. Probably swing that.
And help Mona.
Hi, Mona, yeah.
So that's worthy.
The only availability would be Monday, May 9th for me.
May 9th?
I would be fine with that.
May 9th? May 9th, going twice, going three times.
I think that's my son's birthday.
You can bring him.
You think?
I don't know. His birthday is May 9th. Well, I have four kids. I mean, I'm doing the best I can. I put it on a calendar. My assistant puts it there.
I'm just going to remember.
Yeah, put it on the calendar. It is my son's birthday. I would be better to not attend.
Okay. Chase, how is May 9th for you if we moved it to a Monday?
I can swing it.
Yeah, so you'll probably get some attendance from me at that.
You know? Okay. Well, yeah, you can call in.
May or may not.
Or I'll probably come down.
May or may not what?
May or may not be virtual for me on May 9th.
Okay, that's fine. We can deal with that. Okay. All right, well, let's try for that then. Maybe that'll make it easier to get a room.
May 9th?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we have both options open, May 9th or May 13th, depending on room availability?
Yep.
All right, cool.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Okay, guys, we'll try to do the best we can to get everybody in a position where they can participate. We have a lot of work to do. The perspective that Mr. McGalley was giving us is that we really haven't heard cases since December.
Yeah.
So we've got cases backed up for a while now, mm-hmm. that we need to get rid of.
We need a motion for this as well? Before anything?
No.
I don't think so. We don't, we don't have a solid.
Okay.
I think we're good.
Are we still staying at 9 a.m.? I mean, 10 a.m.?
Not for me. Does anybody else care?
Not for the two that we scheduled.
I don't care.
I wake up at 4, so 5 would be ideal if we're looking for opinions.
I'd be with you.
Yeah, me too.
I'd be done by 9.
Can we have a vote on that?
I think if we're going to have a lot of cases and it's going to be long hours, maybe earlier is better.
All right, does anybody have an objection to 9 a.m. start?
Works for me.
All right, well, let's at least do that. And then we'll campaign for earlier. All right, good. All right, staff can put that together and let us know what we can do. We'd appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, number 9 is...
stop at 10:30 here.
Okay. Are you... Oh, you're 10:30?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate your participation.
I'm sorry, everyone. Take care.
Understand.
Bye, Chase.
See you next month. Still 5. Okay. All right. So number 9, welcome to Visiting Cosmetology Students and Instructors. So anybody here from a school?
Area manager, instructor, Gateway Community College.
Gateway?
Yes. This is Marshall Mack.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. Oh, that's right. Marshall's here. That's right. But you have to be here, right? All right. Well, thank you for coming. All right. Let's move up to the executive director's report.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Well, first of all, let me start with a big thank you. It was 3 weeks ago today. I was in an interview chair with you all. So I appreciate the opportunity. I'm extremely grateful and frankly very excited to be serving as the executive director of this amazing organization. It has been quite a whirlwind of a week, and you can see the looks on all of their faces. I have asked a lot of questions, and I will continue asking a lot of questions to build my understanding of the operations and how things are going at this point. Every day I've had to remind myself that I've been here X number of days and that I can't right the ship in that many days. So I'm looking forward to continuing to dive deeper into our work and finding ways to improve our processes. That's I can read between the lines that that's probably a significant reason why the board chose me is for that process improvement. And I'm really, by driving that process improvement, I'm really excited about improving the customer service of the organization and how we can better improve all of the data and metrics that you mentioned a few moments ago, Mr. Chair. I do intend my future reports to be of a business style review, in meaning that I'm going to come and present to you very specific metrics and outcomes of the work that have been done, probably because of delay in being able to access information. Like, as an example, in the May board meeting, I would probably be reporting out on March. So there will be a lag in some metrics. Where I can give you most current information, I fully intend to do that. But I did want to share with you all, and I've started with a few key staff about where can we get this information, how do we access it. We don't have it. What needs to be done to start to track that information? That said, I will ask for the board's patience as well as the staff, I understand, are probably like, but I will ask for your patience as we work toward building that framework. I have a good idea from you of what you want, but I also fully expect that as time goes on, we will continue to improve upon month over month, add additional pertinent information that you all believe is important to the business of the organization. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you because we talked about the provisional licensing in an earlier agenda.
True. Yeah, I think that speaking for the board, that we want to really see the efficiency of that operation, get an idea how it's changing. The early numbers you gave us on testing alone were really a miracle. That's been a crisis for 2 years, and it was a real difficult time for this board to face being that hard on the industry. And now that we're pulling that up to where we can get testing done, get these people through, that was really good work on the board's staff's standing. So that was a big deal. So let's look for the processing times. Make sure that we're the best we can be.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay, is there any questions from the board?
Welcome.
All right, let's move into the consent agenda. We do have three time certains at 10:30. So perhaps we should begin there and get through those three.
Mr. Chairman, do you, because we have a full quorum without you at this point, would you like to take care of some of the cases where there's a conflict?
Are we able actually, we don't.
Chase, so we don't
chase
have
that
quorum anymore.
But,
we have to have five.
One. Oh.
No, I was excited about that, too.
Oh. I'm
really tired of seeing my name on that.
Apologies.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, and I wish it was able to be gone through. Next month.
I did wrong math.
Yeah, next month will be great. It will be good. It will be perfect. So, let's move to the informal interviews at 10:30 time certain, because people are probably here waiting for that to be taken care of. And then we'll come back and do the rest of the agenda. So we'll move to step two. Yeah, and you want to put me back to life here, so since I have, and you. supervisor has pointed out, we'll swear the staff in so we get that done and then move into the consent agenda. So as staff, do you swear the testimony that you'll give today will be truthful and accurate? And we'd like to state that you will, assuming you will, and state your name. Would you like to begin?
I swear to tell the truth, Kelly Winston. Ellen Bordelon, and I swear to tell the truth. Alexandra Hill, I swear to tell the truth.
I'm Kathy Bertram, and I will tell the truth.
But I guess I did.
Are you guys going to be involved in this testimony thing?
You know, the only test for me. Okay, the truth. I'm Susie Thomas, I'll tell the truth.
Any other staff involved? Okay.
I have a question for the Attorney General. I've actually never seen staff swear in. Could you maybe help me with some perspective on that?
Yes, they will be testifying, providing testimony in the informal proceedings.
Okay. Right. So they'll actually give testimony of what they found and saw.
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And all board staff should have, all board members should have a script, and I believe Ms. Taya Stewart is getting me one, so, and Mr. McAuley, so we should all have a script to be following. But yes, they will be testifying, or in every specific case that's assigned, so it's been the practice to swear them in.
Interesting. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Just taking a look at some of the complaints we have today, not any specific complaint, but it does appear to be that photos are included with some of them, and I don't see them in our board files. Are those going to be passed around?
Did you check
it? Yeah, they're in the drive.
Are they like a separate folder? Or? Oh, in this. Is that it?
Today.
Got it. No, wait.
In my login, never was.
Wait.
So you haven't had a chance to review
it? Well, no, I reviewed it before, but I can't log in.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you. Perfect.
I know the only stuff that we should have is going to be two. But can we do that?
Yeah, I think I'll be able to play along.
Thank you. Would you like to share with me?
Yeah, I'll just cheat on you.
Did you do that?
I know where they are. I was trying to open them separately, and then I'll pull them up.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had a dream about last night. So we'll go ahead and get started on step 2A without negotiation options. We have a new script, which seriously looks like Mona's handiwork. Is the idea of this that you want this entire script read with each case? Is that your thought?
Preferably, yes. I mean, if there's some introductory comments that you'd just like to make before.
All right, we'll test drive it and see how we do. All right, so, okay, let's see how it goes. All right, it says it is now 10:30 a.m. on April the 8th, 2022. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's consideration of cases scheduled for an informal interview pursuant to ARS 32-573. My name is Board Chairman Gary Begley. The other board members will now introduce themselves to indicate whether they're a public member or a professional member. Why?
Because this is a proceeding. Should this case go forward to a judicial review action, we need to make a specific record for this proceeding.
What's the point of the public or professional?
To just state their status on the board. I mean,
they're all board members.
then if you want to not include that, you do not have to.
Okay. Would you each introduce yourself for this day, please?
My name is Brandy Flores.
Nick Goodman.
Trista Guzman-Glover.
Marshall Knox, Vice Chair.
Thank you. Also present is the board's executive director, Frank Magali, and the board's attorney, Mona Baskin, from the Arizona Attorney General's Office. Before we begin, I want to advise everyone that this proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speak at a time. When you begin speaking, please identify yourself for the record. We ask that you keep your phone on mute until we call your case, assuming you're on a phone. When your case is called, unmute your phone by pressing *6. Please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. The board has a civility policy, and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Okay, swearing in the board staff, we did that already. Did that already. Okay. Okay, the purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and to decide the outcome. The licensees have received a notice informing them of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the informal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issue of non-disciplinary letter of concern, issue of a disciplinary letter of concern, impose a probation requirement best adapted to protect the public safety, health, and welfare, including requirements for restitution payments to patrons, offer a consent agreement with terms previously offered or new terms, or to forward this matter to a formal hearing. The board chairman will call each case listed on the agenda and then reference to the point. What is this? Okay, proceed to the informal interview cases list on the agenda. Okay, so, all right, the first case is case number 96875 and 96878, Rosie Nails, license SNT 16495 and SAES 21358. Bick Twin T. Lee, license number 50000384 and 31700849, and Min Vu, license 50000151. Are you present?
Yes.
Would you come forward to the seats, please? To the table?
Over there.
Yep. And just take a moment before you sit. Raise your right hand. Up. Stand up.
Stand up.
Great. Do you swear the testimony that you'll give today will be true? You're fine. Wait, hang on one second. Do you swear the testimony you'll give today will be truthful?
Yep.
State your name.
My name is Rachel.
Okay. Say your name.
My name is Min.
Okay, you're Min Vu. Okay. And who are you?
My name is Victor Ray.
Okay. Okay, great. Please have a seat.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have staff that can review this case for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Helen Bordelon, investigator. On or about August 6th of 2021, I conducted an inspection of their nail salon, Rosie's Nails, in Tucson, Arizona, and it was due to being a risk-based inspection in reference to case number 96620 and 96621. The risk-based inspection did result in an unsatisfactory grade because, as you can see in the photo, there was food left out in the salon area. There was sharp tools left out, disposable razors. The paraffin wax was contaminated. It had products that were unlabeled and not inside an original container, and which they were removing that product improperly, so double dipping, so to speak. The reuse of tools and implements, reusing nail files and buffers. The nail work areas were unclean and very unsafe. Two of the stations were found with trash, nail dust, and nail clippings. At that time, the establishment license SAES 21358 was expired. It had expired on 4/25/21. I can tell you now that it is current. That license is current. It was renewed on 2/24/22. And at that time, the owner, Ms. Fick, was her license had also expired on 5/25/21, and she since renewed on 11/23/21.
Okay.
Chair, if I may, what's a risk-based inspection?
Sure. So this first, I had gone out prior, and it was sort of the same violations were found. Pretty severe violations. So with that being said, we go back within 3 weeks. We're mandated to go back in 3 weeks and see if maybe things have changed.
After letting the licensee know.
Yes.
And were the lapses in personal and facility license, were those in existence the first inspection too?
I believe so.
But that wasn't part of the original inspection?
Correct. The original inspection was just a routine visit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then also, when it comes to what was found, do you let them know at the time that you visit?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then when they applied for licenses again, did they disclose that they had lapsed, or do you have that
information? I don't have that information.
Okay.
That's not
my question. We picked that up in the system.
I can see in our system that if it has or has not been renewed, but I'm not directly notified.
Yeah, but by waiting, but by having resolved it before today, they've cured it on their own kind of without.
That has been taken care of. However, I will say that the salon license S&T is currently delinquent.
The salon license is delinquent now.
S&T 16495.
Mm-hmm.
The nail license is delinquent on January 27th of 2022. And that's just a side note.
Okay.
Because I looked.
Okay. Have you had an opportunity to review this complaint?
Because I'm imagining the group will be left, I don't understand.
Let me talk to him. You know that before he come to investigate to my nail salon, that the COVID time, we close the store and we go somewhere else, you know, come back to another place. I clean up my house and I don't remember what day my license is by. When the time he come to investigate my nail salon and she find out my license is mine, and I accept my fault. And after that, and she give me a note, I pay the fine for the license already. And I don't know what happened today. And I pay everything. I accept to pay the fine for my nail salon after Mr. Paul. But I know I pay off all already. Now I got the notice paper from your state bar come here. For what? I don't understand.
Well, we're looking at two different kinds of problems. The paperwork, the licenses, you know, you dealt with that.
No, I did already.
Right, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and the fine, they give me, you know, $750. I paid off already. Everything, I listen and they pay off. I think I'm done and all that. I know now I have the notice. They sent to my email, and today I have a meeting at 10:30. For what? I don't understand.
Okay, we're concerned about the safety of your shop. The pictures of your shop appear to be dirty, appears to not be kept up.
Yeah, that's my husband, you know, take care of the business. I didn't there. That's what his fault. And after the inspector, you know, take it out and his fault, and I let him clean up already. And from that day, we clean and we spray off the fire for 6 months. And we all there like that. I don't owe anything. But now, suddenly, I get a notice from my email. I have a meeting today. I don't know why.
Hang on just for a second. Now, about 3 weeks ago, you had an inspection where there were security problems or there were sanitation problems?
3 weeks prior to that.
3 weeks prior to that?
Yes.
Okay. So, miss, you had an inspection about 3 weeks before this inspection where you had sanitation problems. Then she came back 3 weeks later and you still have sanitation problems. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I didn't know. Now I have another shop. I take care and he takes care by himself. I remind and after work I clean up already. I'm agree with you. 3 weeks later you come to check again.
Right. And we found the same problems.
That's
still dirty.
Sure
now
that.
Why?
Because, you know, just him take care over there. But I clean up and then I left. I don't know what happened.
Who's in charge? He is?
Just him. Go over there. Only him.
I think that one about, I don't think she come back to check that.
And the manager, they're
only
him.
Okay. Let's stop for a second. Now, let's make sure that we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
So maybe a month ago, at some point, the inspector came and found your shop was very dirty. And you paid a fine. Your shop was not dirty?
Because when someone comes, we need to sign something in paper. But there was nobody come.
Yeah, I didn't see anyone come a month ago. But now you send me like that, I'm surprised. I didn't see anybody.
Can we show them the pictures of their shop?
That was August.
This is
based on it.
Okay.
Did that happen? So that was August of 21, not a month ago.
A
month after, yeah.
August, 1 month ago.
Yeah. Okay, so a month ago the shop was dirty.
No.
July of 21. Okay. So July of 21, the shop was dirty. And you paid a fine because the shop was dirty.
From that day, I don't see anyone come to check again.
Okay. So let's settle down.
Sorry,
so in July, we agree the shop was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
We agree that we had to pay a fine because it was dirty.
Yep.
Now she came back. She didn't come back.
Yeah, I didn't see people come back from that day. I have problems. And I say off, you know, on the pipe, and I didn't see people come back.
Can we show documentation of the second inspection report or anything like that?
No, but the second one was the high risk. The reason why she went out for the second time, as she had mentioned earlier.
High risk, I get it. So we must have done paperwork. They don't think we were there. So I'd like them to understand that this is a continuing problem and that we need to be sanitary to protect the public.
I'm sure.
We're going to get a documentation to show you there was a second inspection. The point is that there's a series of inspections where your shop is dirty. And the dirtiness is a sanitation problem that puts the public at risk. This board exists to protect the public. So the question is, if we are a board to protect the public, and in your business you don't choose to protect the public, then the question is, can we let you continue to operate? So I'd like to establish with you whether or not you think you can clean your building.
Yeah, I did clean, but just him take care over there. From that problem, I pay off all the fines. And from that day, I don't know. I all set. I see clean.
Would it surprise you if we went there today and your shop was dirty?
No, I don't know. But that's an old big job. They did for me. I see everything before. That's it.
Okay.
And now I did fight already. Now
sure.
I have meeting. I don't know.
Do you recognize you have a responsibility to keep your shop clean and sanitary?
Yeah, of course I do.
You do?
Yeah, but if you will keep it dirty, nobody comes.
Right.
I don't have money. Why I do it that? Just him did over there.
So he's the one that did that?
I don't know. I'm going to explain. But,
Yes,
I think there's multiple concerns. One is that you were notified of the lack of sanitation the first time, didn't correct it. 3 weeks later, there was a sanitation problem, and now you're coming before us and laying blame at someone else. But we have your license listed as the owner of the establishment. So both the manager, Min, and you also have responsibility for the sanitation of this shop. And looking at these pictures, this is severe. This is not, I don't think, to be taken lightly. I think that there is a high risk of the public being in danger when coming to a shop based on these photographs. So I think the blame game happening between you saying that it is your manager's responsibility versus your responsibility isn't really the question here so much as, is the public going to be safe going to this establishment in the future between the two of you who both have responsibility? And I'm not hearing that is of concern to you. And I think that the public safety is the real problem.
Okay, I think now the spouse claim. Yeah.
Oh, but I let you know, sometimes I tell him he make problem with me. I say he keep a clean already. I say, okay, I will keep my eye on you too, because I pay the money. I'm owner, the manager, to take care of that. I lose the money. I don't want like that, and I lose the customer too. You let him know clearly, he's my husband. He control me, I can control her. Him.
Okay, we need to figure out whether or not you can operate safely. And right now,
you know,
it doesn't sound
work,
like it.
I still go to my shop, I take care, everything good, I'm there. And then let him know, that I did already. You don't want, you clean again. I mean, but still trouble. That's why I let him work by himself, one shop, I work another place.
Okay.
I'm still running. I keep from now on myself clean, because I don't clean, customer don't come in, and I lose customer, and I pay the fine, you know. I work hard, I pay the fine, I don't have money. Take care for my kids, I don't do that. However, you don't come to check the clean, we still keep the clean, not my responsible. So customer come, if you I wait, you come, let me know, okay. Don't clean, clean, and I lose customer. I have responsible. However, you don't go, we still keep clean.
Yes, if you can't find a way to keep your shop clean, you'll also lose your license.
I need more customer.
So listen,
if
you don't keep your shop clean, we will not allow you to operate.
Yeah, I promise.
That's it. I'm not playing with you. That's real.
Let me know.
Don't care who it is. You own it.
Yeah.
That's your problem. You have your own manager, that's your problem. You own it. So you have to understand this is totally your problem.
Yeah.
You have to stay clean and safe or you don't get to have a shop.
Oh, yeah. I promise, I remember myself, I lost my money, he didn't care.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I keep mentioning money.
I don't care about the money.
I'm concerned about the risk of inspection, not whether or not you have enough customers right now.
Yeah. You know, after work, I stay at the shop, you know, from 9 p.m. until 4 p.m. I am cleaned up for you every week at night.
Good.
From
all right. So how should we move forward? We need to find a way to know the shop is clean and safe.
Yeah, I promise. I know the law when I go to
school,
I know.
We will.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know. That's why after work I clean.
I have a question for the board. Is the outstanding non-renewed license, does that matter? The other license that was mentioned?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a pattern here of somebody who allows licenses to lapse, somebody who allows
clean
pictures to look horrific, and which makes it, you know, maybe somebody who just isn't able to be licensed.
Yeah, it would be reasonable to think about putting him on either a revocation or a possibility of putting him on a probation. We look at him again and see if they figured this out, and if not, then revocation.
I mean, yeah, because to your point, is we are in a spot where people are blaming other people, and what matters is the actual
safety or not.
Safety.
All right. Let me ask you a question, because we have to decide how to deal with this. If you are given an opportunity to clean your shop and keep it clean, can you do it?
Yes, I do. I'm Brahmin.
Understand that if we inspect you again, because we're going to probably put you on a probation, if we inspect you again and you let it get dirty like this again, then we'll take your license.
Sure. No problem. Just make me horrible.
Well, you figure it out.
So for the board, who pays for these inspections? I mean, to go and visit, and there's a board cost. Is it part of our ongoing?
It is. That's the way we deal with it today.
Yeah. I mean, because we're talking about somebody who we show up in Tucson tomorrow, they're going to have it clean, hopefully. But a month from now?
Well, and their risk is they don't know when we'll come back. We'll probably put them on at least what I'd recommend is we put them on a probation for 6 months to a year.
Okay.
That we come back at random times.
Okay.
And if they violate probation, then we know that that's what happened. We gave them a chance, and that's the end of that.
I concur that. This Goodman, I concur that would be the right direction.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I agree that a probation period like that is probably good. However, I think it should be a monthly inspection. I think this is severe and a danger to the public.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion about this case, or would you like me to do it, or how would you like to do it?
Well, Mr. Chairman, may I ask staff, what was the initial disciplinary action for the first violation in July?
I think we even with the consent agreement for 750. Mm-hmm.
And then the risk-based inspection mm-hmm. came right after, and this is the result. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the fines, obviously, especially high fines, that's a very high fine. And that did not work or get your attention, which concerns me more for the public.
Mm-hmm.
You think I'm in first section. Anyone else wants to make a motion?
I'll do it. All right, on case number 96875 and 96876, I make a motion that, actually, there's a script for that, isn't there?
Well, we first need to have a motion for adopting the findings of
yeah.
and conclusions of law right. within the investigative.
So I move that, I don't have it in front of me, but if you have it.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the findings of fact in the investigative report, including violations regarding inactive establishment license, inactive personal license, multiple violations of statute or rule, repeated failure to correct infractions of safety and sanitary requirements. I think that's it. I think that's the motion.
I second. Guzman Glover seconds.
Okay. Roll call. Mr. Bailey?
Aye.
Ms. Flores?
Aye.
Mr. Goodman?
Aye.
Ms. Guzman Glover?
Aye.
Mr. Knox?
Aye.
Okay. So we've determined this happened. Now we have a motion for penalty phase of this.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I believe that we just did the motion for conclusions of law
yeah.
as findings of fact.
Okay, well, it would either be one motion for the findings of fact and the conclusions of law,
okay.
or you could break it up. And the reason why you would break it up is, let's say the board is only going to find certain findings of fact and certain conclusions of law.
Right.
So it's the board member's pleasure which way they would like to go on that. But from my hearing of the board discussion, it could probably go in one motion. And
right.
you read back that motion?
So it was the previous motion for
I
facts
did.
And conclusions
yeah.
of law.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay.
And then, Mr. Chairman, the next step is
history.
Yes, inquiring about history. Are we able to determine if there is history beyond this July-August situation?
Yes. There is. Full and borderline together is history prior to.
Can you give us a brief overview?
It was prior to my appointment here. There was history for $500 scope of practice, delinquent establishment license on 4/9/2019. And also on 12/21/20, health and safety for $250. And I believe the photos and state visits are exactly the same.
So this is repeat beyond this incident.
Your class might be a good idea, too.
Is there evidence in the history that they were required to attend the... what is the name of it? I can't think of the name of the class.
Arizona.
Infection protection class. Yeah.
I don't believe so.
No. Okay. Mr. Chairman, believe this case is severe enough that we would need a report at the next board meeting if possible. The history, the photos, the recent photos, this is not a typical case. And so I would move based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law that we take the following disciplinary action. One, a reinspection in time for the May board meeting, as well as a requirement that licensees attend the, in fact, all licensees, owner and manager, attend the infection protection course.
Is that what time period?
Within, we usually give a month or 3 months.
Usually 3 months.
This is severe, but within 3 months, recognizing schedules may be difficult. And I would say at least in the moment while we wait for this 1 month reinspection, a period of 6 months probation with monthly inspections.
And no fines.
I think that's tough.
It hasn't worked.
It hasn't worked in the past. And we will be revisiting within a month with an inspection, at which point we can make determination about the future of the licensee, salon establishment, and nail tech, and individual personal licenses.
Okay. Do you have a second?
Goodman seconds. I have a question. Yeah, go ahead. It sounds like you have a comment.
I know. Go ahead, Mr. Goodman.
Are we able to set things up the way that Ms. Flores is mentioning that we, is that a motion that we can actually adopt?
Okay, thank you. I think we're on the same page there. Because this is going to be a board order, it's going to be actually a board order for disciplinary action. It would be issued probably at the earliest on Monday, and then there would be a time for appeal before it's effective. So that would be 35 days. So we could go ahead and issue it, and then after that expiration of 35 days, there could be an unannounced inspection, and maybe that would be something that...
Now, is this just because they're on a probation? Is that why it's now in this format?
It's always been that way. Whenever the board issues any type of disciplinary action, there's a time for appeal. If it's not immediately...
If we put them on probation for 6 months... with the stipulation that they have to take the additional training, and that if they violate their probation, that we'll re-review the case. Is that different than what you're talking about?
There are different issues that you've just raised. An order of probation, you can issue an order of probation. It could probably be issued as early as sometime early next week. The effective date of that board order is not until 35 days because they do have a time for appeal. And all of the items that you included in your motion for probation are absolutely appropriate. I would just maybe recommend that there would be unannounced visits and that you could just direct your board staff to have this be kind of a cadence of coming back on every board agenda.
Okay.
So thank you, Mr. Goodman.
Yeah, well,
this is a timing issue.
Yeah.
Got it. So then I would reflect that motion to include the necessary length of time to establish an appeal
window.
Right. And it's included. It's actually included in the document. And as far as the 6 months probation, would there be any early termination of that probation?
No.
So. Okay.
And I amend my second. Good.
Okay. And that would be a reinspection monthly unannounced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And monthly report to the board. Correct. And then what would happen, just to project it forward, let's say you have an individual on probation, there's non-compliance with that probation, that would be another complaint, and then you could look at further disciplinary action based on non-compliance with the consent agreement, and under the whole concept of progressive discipline, that could include suspension or revocation of a license, and a civil penalty up to $2,000.
Should I include that in my motion, what I believe if there is non-compliance?
No. We would just that would be handled by myself and staff and Mr. McGovern, okay, as far as moving the case forward.
Okay. Do we do a roll call?
Mr. Bagley?
Aye.
Ms. Flores?
Aye.
Mr. Goodman?
Aye.
Ms. Guzman Glover?
Aye.
Mr. Knox?
Aye.
Okay. So you can understand. We think this is very serious. We're going to put you on a probation where we're going to come and inspect you at random, probably monthly. So if we find that you're still not cleaning and your building is not safe, we'll have you back up here and we'll probably take your license. So don't do that.
I'm very clear.
Okay. I want to make sure you understand because we're not fooling around.
I did, yeah.
Okay. All right, you'll get paperwork to this effect, and in your paperwork, I think what Ms. Flores was going to tell you, in your paperwork, it'll show you can appeal this if you want to. That's your choice, but it'll still act the same way. But you have rights, and they'll come to you in the documentation.
You're going to share that they both will be required to take that.
She's pointing out correctly that in the order coming to you, both of you are required to take additional training from the board on safety and sanitation because we've not been able to communicate with you. And we want to make sure that you understand. There's a class given here on a regular basis, which you can check on the website, and you have to take that class within the next 90 days, both of you.
I have a question. I did, Santa Claus class 2 times already. He didn't. I requested him go to...
that makes perfect sense, but here's how it works. You're the owner.
Yeah, I'm owner, but I...
And he's your manager. He's your owner. You're the owner, you're your manager. If you're the owner and you understand it, then you should have made him stop. Since you didn't, you can go to class again.
But I don't want to go to class because I take care of business. I don't have that. But I go to the class to...
Clean your building and you won't have this conversation.
If you give me a... Okay, because I did not, I know already.
I'm not going to give you a fine. You have to comply. You have to clean your shop. You have no choice. Okay? Clean your shop. I don't want to see you again, okay?
Yeah, I don't want any.
Okay.
But I took time for them.
We agree we don't want to see each other again. Clean your shop.
He didn't go. But let him go.
Okay.
Better than me. I know already. I don't get a mistake.
Okay. You're dismissed. You're going to the class. You're going to clean your shop up. That's it.
Yeah, okay. I know that. I know two times right. I came here.
All right. You're welcome to leave now.
Thank you.
So,
the class is infection protection to show you how you should clean your shop and why.
No, he wants to, hit the class where he is, and you go to the online. Yeah,
the staff will follow up with you.
They'll take care of you.
Yeah.
The staff will follow up with both of you.
Okay, clean your shop.
Yeah, he helps.
Okay.
Chair, I have been 11 minutes, I have to leave. I don't know if we're able to start.
If we can get through this,
You decide.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of which, because we're out of business at that point.
Are we out of quorum after that?
No.
Okay.
All right.
There are people here.
There are people here. Let's try and take care of the people here. All right, let's go to the next case. Our next case is case number 96893, Don Marie Barroso, license number 91200044. Come forward. Just swear a testimony you have today to be truthful.
Yes.
State your name.
Don Marie Barroso.
Please have a seat. All right, in the interest of time, we'll just jump right to the case.
She needs to be sworn in.
I just swore in.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Can we have this case reviewed by staff?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Bagley, members of the board, Helen Bornwell, investigator. Kelly Whitaker and I received this investigation about Ms. Dawn Marie Barroso had emailed the staff regarding Darnisha Smith, a student that was attending her school, Phoenix Hair Styling Academy. She stated that Darnisha completed her hours for the hairstyling and would like to get her hours so that she could get her board date. On July 7th, the board office received an online examination application for Darnisha. And on February 8th of 21, the board received certification requests from the student, Darnisha, to be transferred from Core Beauty Academy to Phoenix Hairstyling Academy. However, according to our board's GL system, licensing system, the Phoenix Hairstyling Academy is unlicensed. So Ms. Whitaker and I went to the Phoenix Hairstyling Academy on August 19th of 2021, and we did speak with Ms. Dawn Marie Barroso at that time. She stated that she was not aware that the salon was not licensed, and she thought that she had done everything necessary to receive that license for her school, Phoenix Hairstyling Academy. She stated that she only had the one student, Darnisha Smith, at the time, and that she had since graduated. She said that Darnisha came with hours already, with 557 hours, for a total of to complete 1,000 hours. Darnisha graduated on August 9th of 2021. Ms. Barroso did provide records, and there are photos and exhibits of time cards and test grades that Ms. Darnisha took. There's also photos that for payments that Darnisha paid to Ms. Barroso. She charged $10,000 cash payment only, and she did have monthly payment plans, and you'll see those receipts as well. She stated that the school is open Monday through Wednesday from 9 to 6. She teaches only from the Milady book, basically. They go through the chapter and take the test at the end of the chapter. This school is also attached to her salon that is called the Boneyard Barbershop, and it's separated just by a curtain. And so Ms. Barroso told us that sometimes she would let the student go over to the Boneyard and perform haircut services at student practice to get tested. Ms. Whitaker and I did do a salon inspection and a school inspection while we were there. We did determine that the school was unlicensed. There was no actual curriculum, class schedule, no contract or kit list. There was no record or withdraw or transfer for Ms. Darnisha from the other school. There have been no hours set at all submitted to the board. No student verification of hours received. No student evaluation for progress. There was no verification of the student's ID. We didn't have any sort of identification, no age or education requirements. And again, the violation of the school being attached to the school.
Right. Okay. Got a little bit of a mess here, huh? So... It seems as though you were unaware of what it took to create a school based on the things that you didn't do And it has us in a little bit of a problem, and I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions in a moment. One of those being there's a student caught in the middle here who believes they went to a school, but you don't actually have a school. So you can't file hours because you're not a school. So how do we get here, and what is your thought on how this could all be fixed?
Well, I opened the school in 2020. So for a year straight, I didn't have a student. In the midst, and this is all I can assume, in the midst of putting everything together, I built the school myself. I did all the labor, all the tile work. I rented all the machine work from Home Depot, me and my pickup truck, everything that's ever been brought into the school, every table, every chair, every mirror, I put it in. So with COVID happening, I remember making sure I had the insurance. In my mind, everything was together. I had reached out a number of times to ask questions because I did need some guidance, but I was referred to, you know, another person or another person. And then I would come to this location, and it went from having a person to actually speak to there being nobody to speak to. And then when I would call on the phone, I would be referred to back to the internet, which is kind of confusing too. So in my mind, I thought I had did everything and put everything together. When Darnisha came, she came from another school. She had hours already. So she only needed 400 and something extra hours. So pretty much for that half or half. The class that I'm offering together, I'm an instructor. I've actually worked for Westmac when it was when I worked at Cutting Edge. I worked for Paul Mitchell, Avalon, Studio, Style Academy. I just have seen my students, different students, when I go out to the restaurants, I see them with waitresses, I see them in the drive-thru, I see them doing different things. I know they have so much debt from the school. And it's always the same complaint. I'm not really competitive to work in any salon once I get there because, you know, I learned how to pass state board, but I don't know how to actually do hair. I'm very well-rounded. So in my mind, I'm putting school together, make it affordable, make it only certain days of the week so adults can still have their weekends off, they can still get the kids off from school. And I specialize in Euro and Afro hair. So it was the diversity that was making it harder for the students to compete, and it was the men and female version of hair. The Cosmos wants to learn how to do more barbering technique, and that's my thing,
right,
with barbering. So in my mind, I was going to put this school together, have this way. When Darnisha came with her 400 and something hours that she needed, I didn't know what she had took at core. So she actually got double the education. I made her go through every single chapter of the testing. So she went and redid everything for Cosmo that I had, other than the skincare and the nails. That's the only thing that I don't have in this program, because this is just
this hair on.
A hairstyling life.
If I might interrupt you a moment, I mean, I don't doubt you had good intentions and your path was defined well by need. The problem we have is twofold. One is that you're operating a school without meeting any of the requirements for being a school, other than you probably have a great looking place. Curriculums and all those things. You can't have a school within another shop. It's against the law.
The list that I had of all the requirements that were made, I had on the list. I added a wall. The wall has been there the whole time the school has been there. It's been a wall.
Right.
There's a partition in the wall that I put because I wanted to make more room for the sinks. So, and I brought my lease so you could see where the layout is.
Right.
So the sinks would be together. That way, if this side and this side needed to use the sinks,
yeah.
I didn't know until they came and said you can't have that open.
Right. If I can interrupt you, I believe your intentions are good, and I believe you're trying to make good plans. I don't have any doubt about that at all. The problem is that there are specific laws that schools have to comply with, and according to the inspection, you missed most of them.
I got all of them.
Well, you can't have an opening between your salon and the school. That's one right off.
Right.
You can't have a business within a business
at
a school.
Until they came, I did not know that.
Excuse me for one moment. Chair, would you like me to call in and be a and just be virtual?
Can you call as you're moving?
Yeah. I can do that now.
That would be great if you could do
that. Let's do that so we can.
Please, thank you. Yeah. So let's back up for a second.
Yes. Could we just take a little break and then continue once we're able to get Mr.
Okay. What she's talking about, we're very interested in your case. He has to leave. It breaks up the quorum. So until he gets reestablished on the phone, we don't have enough people to hear the case. So we have to take a little bit of a break.
It's asking to join on the call. So.
Just be a moment. Sorry.
Is it the phone number or is it the Google meeting?
Just be a second.
I'm sorry. Ma'am, we're on a break.
She's not testifying.
Okay. We're on a break. No board businesses. Thank you.
Don't stress. We'll figure this out. It is kind of a mess, but
all right. There we go. Thank you.
All right, life is good again.
Brandy's not here though.
Life is.
Yeah, this is Goodman. I'm in.
I appreciate you being here, Marshall. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, good. Little like a karma. Session. I'd like to mention that both Marshall Knox and Nick Goodman are on the phone. telephonically participating. All right, to summarize where we were, and again, to keep us focused, I don't think anyone doubts you were trying to do something worthy. The problems we have are there's a person caught in the middle who has an expectation that they earned hours as though they were in a school and they were not. That's a problem. The second one is that you're operating as a school in violation of a number of laws about how schools have to operate. So there's two problems to deal with that we need to work our way through.
Okay. The only problem that I was told initially that was the partition in the wall. And the reason why I haven't put the wall up is because, so for the whole program, it's $10,000. It's $1,000 a month, $250 a week. Dharnisha was there for 4 months, so her tuition was $4,000. Right now, I'm $30,000 in debt because I'm still paying.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Would you like me to have her read the list of things that are a problem? Would that help you?
Well, yes, and I made sure to have everything so it's here so you see what it is. And the dates are here from last year, September 21, so to see
okay.
that.
But understand, we can't retro you as a school and say you were a school last year. And retro you saying that you were a school when we know that you were not complying with the laws applying to schools. So there's a problem there to be solved.
Chair, this is Goodman. I have a question. I'm trying to figure out, we don't license non-licensed schools. So in what realm are we trying to regulate this individual with her cosmetology license?
No, I think there's two issues. We have a, for lack of a better way of saying it, we have a fraud issue where we have a student who believed they were taking classes from a school when they weren't, and we're trying to figure out what to do about that.
We don't regulate fraud. That's not our jurisdiction. So that the Attorney General's office can determine and regulate fraud. But we only get jurisdiction over licensees. And if she's a non-licensed school, we can refer the non-licensed school, to be looked into elsewhere, but we can't regulate a non-licensed school.
Mr. Chairman, the individual who is here today is a cosmetology board licensee, and we do regulate that individual license. And so if a licensee is engaging in, cosmetology practice, we are able to regulate that under that license.
Yeah, and that's my question is we can regulate the license as a cosmetologist.
Yes.
But we can't regulate the school because we don't regulate non-licensed schools, correct?
Yeah, philosophically.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Goodman, this is Mona Baskin, and that statement that you made is correct, and Ms. Flores articulated it well. What we have here today is a licensee who was running a school, misled a student to believe that she did have a school, and it's basically operating a school without a license, and you are correct. That's the issue before the board. The board is not going after an unlicensed school.
Okay, thank you.
Right, yes. And also whether or not she would qualify as a school is not before the board today.
Right. So as we try to sort this out, I hope this is making sense. It isn't a question of your motive. It isn't a question of whether you were doing good. The problem is that you did violate law in that you were not set up correctly as a school and then sold products to a person.
I do understand that. But I would like to reiterate that it was not from lack of trying. During COVID, it was really, really difficult to talk to anybody from the state board, and then it just became less and less available for me to reach out. I got to know a lot of people by name, Kathy, tried to take the steps that were needed. When she did her hours and did her time, I sent it in state court because I was under the impression that it was a school too. So when I sent the hours in, it wasn't until that I got the response back that I was operating a school illegally. I didn't know that.
Sure.
Because, you know, I went to the state of Arizona Corporation. In my mind, I had dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's.
Right. But we are in a spot where you don't have the license.
Right.
Which a license wasn't issued to you because you didn't meet the qualifications to be that license.
Well, when I had submitted all my information initially, when you go on the internet and it tells you do this and do this and do that, I did all that. It wasn't until I spent an hour that they said, well, this isn't that. I assumed once the insurance, the bonding, I had the contract, I paid my money. I thought that it was all taken care of. It wasn't until I sent her hours in.
So. Right.
I was operating it too, not knowing. Like, I thought everything.
Well, where we are today, you can't operate as a school until you qualify as a school and get a license. So clearly, you're at that juncture at this stage.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I've done everything.
Right. But do you have a license?
I was hoping that was why I was here.
We can't issue you a license at this stage because there are certain requirements to get a license. And you haven't met those.
The only requirement that I haven't made is the partition in the
Do you have
wall.
A curriculum?
Yes, sir.
Did you supply it to us?
Yes, they took pictures of all of the stuff. It's all handwritten. It's all here. It's on the back of this. So,
Mr. Bagley, when Kelly Whitaker, board investigator, I understand what she's saying. She does have everything from... I mean, she did have proper everything, but I get what you're saying. What I don't think she's understanding is that she should not have been running the school without a license.
Until you get the license.
Period. End of story.
That's well said. So, do you intend to try and get a school started? Is that your goal?
Honestly, I'm like, this is my dream that turns into a nightmare.
Yeah, so, I can see that.
Mr. Chairman, is it possible for the license outside of this proceeding? I recognize that we're not here to license the school today.
Yes.
That's not our role. But it sounds like the licensee, I don't think the licensee, to your point about intention, would have outed herself as running an unlicensed school if she thought it was an unlicensed school by calling in to report student hours. So I think it's, you know, all of this sort of data we have in front of us demonstrates that you had good intentions with starting this. And I keep hearing that you're struggling to get information from board staff. So if that is the case, since we do have this licensee in front of us when we're concluded with this proceeding, is it possible that staff can meet with the licensee and provide guidance on next steps should she want to pursue a school license?
Yes.
All right. So we'll cause that to happen for you. So we'll get through that part for the future. And where we are in the other side of the problem we're dealing with is you have this student who is applied believing they're ready for licensing, and we don't have the ability to give her hours because she didn't go to a school.
Well, she sure did get trained very well.
I don't doubt it.
Education. So I understand what you're saying. I'm prior military. I get it. I know it's just something.
Yeah.
But I wish you would have told me this before.
I invested another $15,000 that I didn't have. I wish you would have just told me no, because I've been keeping the rent and paying the bills on hope that you might give me what I think I earned. I wish you would have just told me no. I could have gave her money back, and I could have had more money for myself.
That makes sense. What we can do is try to help you get through the part to see whether you can open a school with what you have, which we'll do that for you after this.
It would have been easier just to give her money back. This is me holding on.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. And it isn't helpful to say there are 100 ways to solve this other than the path we went on. Where we are today is we can work on offering you help to see if we can figure out a way for this to work for you, which we're going to do.
I'm going
to
reach it out. Yes, sir. That would be great to actually talk to somebody that could help more. And that would be great because it wasn't from lack of trying.
I believe you. All right. So in this case, as this case sits before us, We've established how we're going to try and figure out what can be done about the school. We can't do anything about the student. I don't think we have a pathway because we don't have the ability to honor the hours. We don't have ability to retro anything to make it work. So you're going to have to work that out with your person to see how to do that. And I don't know what the answer to that is.
Well, I had already talked to her initially about what was happening, and I offered her if she wanted her money back. And of course, I would have to comp her more because she did give up her time. But the idea to hold on to the school to
sure.
see if it might happen, because I haven't been able to enroll any students. I haven't been able to
right.
see anything. I'm just
right.
paying rent for an empty shell right now because I can't even bring anybody in. I'm pouring money out.
Absolutely.
So she said, no, Miss China. And if I didn't get this notice, like I got the notice in the mail last night, I was told it was the 15th. I've been told a bunch of different dates. And I just came, she would have came as well because I was very thorough on everything that she did.
Yeah,
I wanted to have all her tests and everything. And even though the school wasn't licensed, I am a licensed instructor.
Exactly.
You know, and the building and everything that I had in place, the lease and everything, all that was legal. It was just out of the five licenses that I needed where I thought I had everything together.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, but I didn't know until I was sure. told.
We agree. We think you're a good person and we think you were trying to do good, but we're stuck where we are. So I we'll set up for staff to help you. To walk you through the pieces. It's not that hard from where you are. You may already have these things and you can just file them and demonstrate them.
So
they'll solve that for you. And then you can decide what to do.
The comments that were made, as far as you said, the things that I don't have, I've sent everything in emails, I've sent everything in the mail, so you have the paper and you have the email. The only thing that I know that I don't have was the wall. It was going to cost me more money, so I was waiting to see because I'm just pouring money out.
Absolutely.
I was waiting to see
okay.
what she was saying.
We'll arrange for, like I say, the staff to help. I don't know if we have more to do with this case or not. I don't recognize it.
Mr. Backlund, members of the board, you would move into the deliberations portion of this informal proceeding. And so this would conclude the dialogue with the licensee, and then the board would go into deliberations and discuss the findings of facts, conclusions of law, and how to
proceed. You can do the first step for sure.
Okay. I move that we adopt the findings of facts in the investigator virtual book. Do we?
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Because I think that then requires us to
do something.
Yeah.
Well, if the board finds a violation, if you find for the findings of fact, then and the conclusions of law, then you're gonna then that constitutes a disciplinary. Then you will have to go ahead and impose discipline.
But that's our choice.
Well, right. So that's right. why I was just doing findings of fact rather than mm-hmm. conclusions of law.
Right. But if you find the findings of fact, then those would constitute conclusions of law. So if you wish to consider a non-disciplinary way to resolve this case, then that would be without having findings of fact. Right.
Yeah, I think we're okay because we still have control.
Okay.
So
this is Goodman, and I understand there's lots of emotion, and I believe we have somebody who has been trying to act in a forthright and good way. We do have somebody who had a student or someone she thought is a student giving care or, you know, providing services. Is that ethically appropriate or able to be done within cosmetology? Can a
no, it's not unlicensed
operator. Hair?
It's an unlicensed operator.
So, I mean, as a cosmetologist, to now have somebody charging student rates, I mean, we do, I mean, we've got precedent, we've got the public to think about. I mean, I get the emotions, I get the individual. What about precedent? What about the rest of Arizona?
I think that's very reasonable. Do you want to go through it or wait to?
Well, my understanding is the student is not licensed to do hair,
correct.
So I don't think that student is causing a public
safety concern because of the fact that they attended an unlicensed school. They didn't receive a license. Is that correct? Or did the
license? Concerned because the unlicensed person was doing hair.
My cosmetologist allowed just a member of the public who wasn't a student. Now, I mean, we found that she can't have been, the person couldn't have been a student. She cut hair. I mean, does this matter? Or do we say, hey, no intent here, no foul? Or how do we act?
I think we take it into account as we're moving forward. And we're going to do a motion. You can see what you think about
And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Goodman, to address your issue, the licensee here today is a licensed school instructor, and within her scope, within her education, she is charged with knowing the laws in the state of Arizona regarding on what circumstances she can function as a school instructor. So that would be within her requirements and her knowledge base.
So I move that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law in the investigative report regarding an unlicensed school, and as well as the separation of school from other businesses and school license requirements, as indicated in the investigative report. That's my motion. Second.
Okay, roll call.
Okay, Mr. Bailey?
Aye.
Ms. Flores?
Aye.
Mr. Goodman?
Abstain.
Oh.
Are you sure about that?
Well, then we don't have quorum for the motion.
Yeah.
Are you abstaining for what reason?
Abstention is a vote. It's not it's not being absent. It's an actual vote. So it, quorum well, doesn't get it. Somebody can abstain and you can still have quorum.
Correct.
Okay. All right. We'll take
it. Is correct. Mr. Goodman, all right. If you wish to abstain, I guess
okay.
You can, but it does. He's correct. An abstention goes toward establishing the quorum.
Okay.
Would the aye pass the motion?
Still the majority.
Okay.
Nim Marshall.
Okay, aye. Ms. Montlover?
Aye.
And Mr. Knopf?
Aye.
Okay, so we just said it did. We just said it happened. That's all we did. Okay, so in order of discipline?
So I move that based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law that we take the following disciplinary action, which is a disciplinary letter of concern to the licensee. And I would also like to add that within a 3-month time period, board staff return for an unannounced inspection to ensure that the school is not operating if it does not get a license within that 3-month time, if it's not pursuing a or if it's not operating unlicensed. Sorry. Yeah.
And then, Ms. Flores, that inspection is a recommendation because actually the discipline that will be issued is a disciplinary letter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But it's a recommendation.
Yeah. Right.
If I'm right.
Yeah, I'll explain to you.
Right. Unless you wanted to issue an order of probation, that would require an inspection. So, and you could also order the non-disciplinary letter of concern because your disciplinary statute permits you to impose multiple disciplinary action. So it would be the board's pleasure.
I think a disciplinary letter of concern is sufficient.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm a little clumsy with making these motions. We have a little bit of a new script here, but and a recommendation that staff return within unannounced within 3 months to ensure that an unlicensed school is not being run.
No
student.
Okay,
hang on.
You second.
Second. Here's one closer second.
Roll call. Mr. Bailey?
Aye.
Ms. Flores?
Aye.
Mr. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Guzman Glover?
Aye.
Mr. Knox?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Aye. Here's what all that's for. Thank you. Here's what it started out to. We believe you were trying to do good. We believe you were trying to do the right thing. I mean, we support you and want to support you. We gave you a disciplinary letter of concern So there was a record that we went through this mess together. A staff's going to help you figure out whether or not you can get together to get your school going. And you probably can, you just have to choose if you want to. So once you get to that stage, you can then start legitimately building a business around that to recover these issues you've gone through. The lady who was caught in the middle is caught in the middle. So that's something you can work out as you get to the stage where you've got more tools to work with.
I'm kind of like in a super bit, so.
Yep, but if we can get you started so you can actually function, it will help you a ton. Mm-hmm. But at least you have choices. So would you like to have time with one of the staff to get to that point? Okay, and we're not punishing you any further than this. We're not doing anything because we know we have your attention. We know you mean to do well, and we want to support you in that regard. Okay?
I'm just disappointed because I really thought I was going to get the license.
You may. If you put an effort into what we're doing right now, this could be the doorway for you. That's all you need to do is just hang on a little bit further, put a little bit more into it, because you're on a road now that actually can work.
And I will say, I know he's not here, but I recognize the name Knock. I know he's a school owner.
Mm-hmm.
I actually reached out to other school owners because I didn't get any help from State Board. Actually, I reached out.
Okay.
It's just from confusion. So thank you.
All right. I'm in Scottsdale at Image Institute if you need help.
Say it again, Scottsdale.
Image Institute.
Image Institute.
We're not hard to find.
I lived up your school too.
Come over.
We're hiring at night for something.
Well, you know where we are.
Hey, sorry,
thank you. All right, so you guys have a plan how to help her. All right, thank you. Thank you and good luck. Figure it out. You're doing something worthwhile to make it work.
I think we're losing Nick in a couple of minutes.
All right, let's go quick. Miss Rosa. Take us to the front door and run us back through this, will you please? Clean some of this up.
Step one, invite to you. Step one A, recommended application denial, we have none. Step one B, recommendation that dismissal. Mr. Chairman, the members of the board, all cases under step one B, recommended dismissal, have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary actions. Except for
95613. Okay. So we have board discussion on the first section, step B.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to accept staff recommendation to dismiss all cases in step 1C.
Do we have a second somewhere?
Second. Here's my Glover.
Can you roll call us, Rosa?
Roll call, Mr. Gary Bakley.
Aye.
Ms. Brandy Flores.
Aye.
Ms. Trista Guzman Glover.
Aye.
Mr. Marshall Knox.
Aye.
And Mr. John Goodman. Nick Goodman, I apologize.
Is that Goodman? Aye.
Yes.
Yes. You did a nice job.
Thank you.
All right. And C?
If C1, non-disciplinary areas of concern. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, all cases under step 1C, recommended non-disciplinary areas of concern, have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary actions.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to accept staff recommendations for non-disciplinary letter concern for all cases in step 1C.
Guzman Glover, second.
Roll call. Mr. Gary Bakley.
Aye.
Ms. Brandy Flores.
Aye.
Ms. Trista Guzman Glover.
Aye.
Mr. Marshall Knox.
Aye.
And Mr. Nick Goodman. Mr. Goodman.
Nick, are you still there?
We're so close.
I know. That was 100 cases.
Yeah.
Is that Nick?
We can hear you.
Did you say aye on that last vote?
I did say aye.
Yeah, at a point. We knew we loved you.
And the last one would be on the set 2J. And that would be for case number 96571 and 96572, Fashion Mail, license number SMT 18694, and SAES 18429. Aluminum Mill, Fashion Mail, LLC owner, and member Hong Kong Lee, license number 513-0365. I would ask the board if they could dismiss this case. The owner, I'll close the case because the owner, Mr. Hong Kong Lee, passed away.
Okay, I move we accept staff recommendations on case number 96571 and 96572.
A second, Guzman Glover.
Roll call.
Aye.
Mr. Gary Begley. Ms. Brenda
aye.
Torres. Ms.
Tristan. Aye.
Mr. Knox.
Aye.
And Mr. Nate Goodman.
Aye.
Thank you.
And the last case, 95446, this is Jose L. Garcia. We had that case closed, administrative closed back in March of 2021. But he resurfaced, and he decided to go ahead and sign the consent agreement, and he's making payments on the case, and that I only wanted to give him.
So we're okay?
Yes.
Do we have to do anything on that one?
No.
All right, that case is done. All right, can we go back and do that last section? He's reading.
For MD.
D.
I want to apologize for that one.
It's just fine. You do the quick for it, Nick Disappears.
Step 1B, recommendation in formal interview or negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman, and members of the board, all cases under Step 1D, recommended in formal interviews or negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary actions except for 95186 and 95978.
This is Brandy Flores. I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendations for informal interview and negotiation terms for all cases under Step 1B, except for 95978 and what was the other one?
95186.
95186.
Second.
Roll call.
Aye.
Gary Begley.
Yes.
Ms. Brandy Flores. Ms. Kristen Gutierrez.
Aye.
Mr. Chin, Mr. Knox. Mr. Marshall Knox?
Yes.
Thank you.
And Mr. Nick Goodman?
Aye.
All right. Thank you all for your participation.
I visited this meeting.
Okay. Roll call. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all. Thank you for the heroic efforts. Glad we got some business done. Pretty nice.
Lovely.
Shoot.
Well, I really hope that.
Oh, I do. Yeah, that would help her.
I